Psalm 32, verses 1 through 11. This is the reading of God's Word. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near to you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. Amen. Let us pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We pray that you will grant all of us an ear to hear your word, and that your Spirit will work in us to make us understand, make us believe, and make us obey your word. Oh, Father, bless us that your word will be preached correctly, and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ will be preached. And Father, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ as we hear his word. Let's see what he has accomplished for us, and let us rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. We thank you, and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 32. The title of this psalm says that it is a psalm of David, but it also says that it is a maskil. We do not know for sure what this means, but perhaps it means a devotional teaching or teaching for the holiness, or an instructional psalm, or a meditational psalm, or just a well-written psalm. We do not know for sure what the word maskil means, but we know what this psalm is about. As you read this psalm, it is very clear. This psalm sings about the blessedness of the one whose sins are forgiven and covered. Verse 1 and 2. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. In these two verses, sin is expressed with three words. First, transgression. Second, sin. And third, iniquity. The transgression, it means flat out, deliberately, intentionally, and willfully breaking God's law. Unlawfulness. Second word, sin, is deviation from God's law or missing the mark. The picture here is when you shoot an arrow but missing the mark altogether. You deviate so you will never get to your intended destination. You never get to God's glory. The third, imputation of iniquity. This is the corruption of our whole nature. The wickedness that is always working in a sinner. It is what we call original sin. The total depravity. Deliberately breaks and deviates God's law. This is how we were before salvation. And these three words perfectly describe how we were. And when we think about how we were, how could we not join Paul in crying out, Romans chapter 7, verse 24, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" The only answer is, of course, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul interprets verses 1 and 2 in his letter to the Romans. If you go to Romans chapter 4, I'm going to read from verse 6. And here, the issue, Paul is teaching the justification by grace, not by works. Verse 4, Paul says, Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. So when you work for somebody, that person has to pay you because you did work. But, verse 5, to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. See, righteousness means you obey perfectly. So even though you didn't do anything, even though you did not work, but you believe in God who justifies the ungodly, that faith is credited as righteousness. Verse 6, just as David in our psalm also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from the work. So Paul's understanding of verse 1 and 2, David is talking about the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from the works. So if that's Paul's understanding, that's God's understanding, so we understand our psalm in that way. Verse 7, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Is this, Paul says, blessing, verse 9, is this blessing then on the circumcised or on the uncircumcised also? For we say faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness. It wasn't Abraham's work, but it was his faith that God called him righteous in his sight. In Romans, Paul is using Psalm 32 verse 1 and 2 to teach us the justification by faith alone. So that's how we should read it. In verses 1 and 2, then, how does that justification express? What happens when you're justified? First, transgression is forgiven. That's what it says, our psalm. Transgression is forgiven. The word forgiven in Hebrew means taken away, lifted. The heavy load is lifted so there it is no more. And who has taken away and lifted our transgression? Well, Jesus Christ. That is why John the Baptist said about Jesus Christ, "Behold, The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And what happens when you're justified according to our Psalm? Sin is covered. Covered. Covered from God's eyes. Thus, it is as if there is no sin. Jeremiah 31 verse 34b, and their sins, God says, I will remember no more. And our sins are covered by what? Our sins are not only cleansed by our Lord's blood, but our sins are covered by our Lord's perfect righteousness. We are clothed with, covered with Jesus Himself. Galatians chapter 3 verse 27, for all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. And third, the Lord does not impute iniquity. The iniquity is not imputed to us. Thus God considers us as someone who has no sin. God considers us as debt-free. See, this is what happens to us, or what happened to us, who are justified by God. So God's word says, like east is far from west, that's how far God has taken away our sin. It's just wonderful news. This is why it's called good news, the gospel. And it's not by our works, but it's by our faith. And even that faith is the present that God has given to us. Now God's people who have been justified by God is now sanctified by God. Will be more and more like Jesus Christ. Thus, verse 2b, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. And verse 6b, who is godly. And God's people who have been justified, what do? According to our Psalm, they repent of their sins. That's what we read about verse 3 and 4. Here David tells us what happened to him when he did not repent of his sins. Verse 3, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. When God's people do not repent of their sins, they take the appearance of the dead person. For the wage of sin is death. The life is all dried up. My body wasted away. All of strength is depleted. And groaning all day long, crying of death. My vitality was drained away as the fever heat of summer. See, my vitality, my power, my life, my tongue is completely drained away, completely dried up. The picture here is a lamp without a drop of oil. The oil is completely dried up. That's what happens. Because if you're a true Christian, which means the Holy Spirit lives in you, and that Spirit of God is working in you, He will lead you to repentance. That's what He does. The first time that you feel His work in you to repent, you should repent. Do not ignore it. Because if you do, then you take this appearance of that person. But God forgives us our sins in Jesus Christ. Verse 5, I acknowledged my sin to you, David says, and my iniquity I did not hide, and I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave my guilt of my sin. We repent of our sins, but remember the repentance is God's grace. Now in verse 5, David used all of the three words for sin. Sin, iniquity, transgression. He acknowledged and confessed all of his sins and did not hide. Thorough repentance. And God forgave the guilt of his sin. This is, again, good news. God forgives sins of His people. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. James chapter 4, verse 8 through 10, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep, meaning repent. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. So to believers, the sufferings of verses 3 and 4 are actually God's blessing. Those sufferings will lead us to repentance of our sins. Thus, they will lead us to God's forgiveness of our sins. Thus, they will lead us to joy. But what we saw in verses 3 and 4, body wasted away, groaning all day long, God's hand was heavy upon me, vitality was drained away as with the fever, heat of summer. We saw similar things in Psalm 22, didn't we? Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Verse 14 and 15, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, and it is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws, and you lay me in the dust of death. See, this happened to our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. What is the picture? Our sins have been imputed to our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And He was treated as those sinners without repentance. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, He, God the Father, made Him, God the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus Christ bore our sins, so He was treated as a sinner, so that we will be treated as righteous people of God. And this is the true blessedness. Verse 6, therefore let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they will not reach him. You see, brothers and sisters in Christ, the time to seek our God is right now. The time to repent of our sins is right now. And it talks about the flood of great waters, points to Noah's salvation from the great flood. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8 and 9, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7b tells us that Noah became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So you gotta put Old Testament and New Testament together. It's by faith. Thus, even when the judgment of God comes, we are able to say, verse 7, you are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. See, we do not run away from God. We run to God. You know, sometimes I see church people, when they're having so much problem, they stop coming to church. You don't run away from God. We run to God. And in Jesus Christ, He will receive us. Jesus is our hiding place. And in Him, we have the perfect rest, perfect security. My life is hidden with Christ in God. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Nahum chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, who is able to stand before His indignation? Who can endure the burning of His anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken up by Him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who take refuge in Him. Yes, He is righteous, He will judge sin. But we need to remember God has already judged our sins. And He judged our sins in Jesus Christ. So He will not judge our sins again. So there is no more condemnation. God does not condemn you. Because Jesus was condemned in your place. Proverbs 14 verse 32, be but the righteous as a refuge when he dies. Yes, we are righteous people of God and we have refuge when we die, our verse says. Death is not something you should be afraid of. Death is actually gain, God said. And this, again, it's not just good saying, but it's the truth. Death is gain. That's why Paul wanted to die so much. He actually says it in many places, that he wants to go to his Lord, our Lord, right away. But he says only reason why he's staying, and he stays with joy, he wants to participate in the life of Christ where Jesus considers others more important than himself. So he stays alive for the other people. For other people's faith. Somebody has to teach them the truth. So he says, if it is just for me, I will die right now. But I will stay living for others. See, you have to understand, for us to live here on earth, live today and tomorrow, we do that for the other people. Because God uses us for the edification of each other. This is the purpose of living. Psalm 18 verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Psalm 46 verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 118 verse 8 and 9, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Now God speaks in verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. See, God's eyes are upon us. Verse 9, do not be as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near to you. Unlike those animals, we come to God with joy, completely, willingly, voluntarily, to have fellowship with our God. See, those animals, without those bit and brittle, they will not even come. Don't be like those animals, God said. But we come with joy. Nobody has to tell us to come to God. We come because that's our joy. So the psalm ends with verse 10 and 11. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. Now, as we read this psalm, we need to be very careful. Of course, everything this psalm says is true. It's God's word. But there's more we must understand. When David acknowledged his sin to God, when he did not hide his iniquity from God, when he confessed his transgression to the Lord, God forgave the guilt of his sin. God has forgiven David's transgression, covered David's sin, and did not impute David's iniquity. So David calls on everyone who is godly to repent his or her sins to God. And here we need to make sure that we understand the truth about God's forgiveness of sin. Like I said before, everything our psalm says is true, of course. But without the New Testament, some will err. And with that error, some people love the story of the prodigal son. And they do not truly understand the story, of course. See, the reason why they love that story is that sinner has to repent of his sin and God forgives. There's no story of paying for our sins. All we have to do is repent, it seems like. Nobody has to pay for their sins. See, this psalm without Jesus Christ, people might misunderstand the truth. That all they have to do is just repent. Yes, we need to repent. See, in the prodigal son, when the younger son spent all he had, he wanted to go back to his father. So he repents of his sins. And he goes back to the father. And the father received him back with joy and celebrated his son's return. Without knowing the full gospel, it seems that all that is required for the forgiveness of our sin is our repentance. For the forgiveness of our sins and being justified by God do not happen just because we repent of our sins. God forgives our sins not because we have repented, But God forgive us our sins because Jesus Christ bore our sins and that He died that eternal death on the cross. He justifies us because Jesus Christ has lived that perfect righteous life for us. And His righteousness has been imputed to us through faith that God has given to us. We have to remember it is all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. We must never forget this. See, you could repent of your sins forever. Every day you could repent of your sins 23 hours. And sleep just 1 hour. But if Jesus had not died for our sins, all that prayer or repentance is useless. Don't be so proud of your forgiveness, you know, repenting. It's useless unless Jesus died for you. But some people, man, they are even boasting about their repentance. How much they repent. It's Jesus Christ. And you might miss Jesus Christ if you just read this psalm without full understanding. Brothers and sisters, yes, we are justified by faith and faith alone. And all those who have been justified by God are now being sanctified by the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And the Holy Spirit will make us to repent of our sins when we sin. Thus, all those who have been justified by God by faith will repent of their sins every single day. True Christians cannot not repent of their sins. It just doesn't happen. Oh, you might hold off on repentance for some days, yeah. But Holy Spirit will lead you to repentance. So, if you look at your life, and your life is without repentance of your sins, you should be concerned. You should be very concerned. You should ask, what's going on? Is the Holy Spirit sleeping in me? Is He not working in me? Why am I not repenting of my sins? David did it. He was holding off on repenting, and look at what happened to him. But see, even those bad things that happened to him, it happened in a good way. Because Holy Spirit used that so that David will repent of his sins. Can you have a good relationship if you're a wife? Can you have a good relationship with your husband? Your husband sin against you and never say, I'm sorry. Can you have a good relationship with that kind of people? Same thing with God. See, God never sinned. He never sins against me, so He doesn't have to repent. But in this relationship, I always sin, so I have to repent. I have to say I'm sorry to God. Without that, how can we, God and me, have a good relationship? So if you're not repenting of your sins, one thing is very sure, you're not having a good relationship at this time with God. Even though your relationship is permanent with God, but it's not being expressed in your life. I didn't say if you don't repent, somehow you're going to lose your salvation and your relationship that has been confirmed in Jesus Christ, somehow it's going to change. That's not what I'm saying. But your life doesn't express the reality of that blessedness that you are in Jesus Christ. Repentance. We must acknowledge our sins to God. We must not hide from God our iniquities. We must confess our transgression to the Lord. And we must hate our sin. Our sin that caused our Lord's death on the cross, we must hate it. If you know something has caused death of your loved one, then would you not hate that which has caused that death? There's your loved one, and something has caused that loved one's death. You will hate that something that caused the death of that loved one. You will. And your sin has caused the death of your Lord Jesus Christ, whom we confess, all of us confess, whom we love. How can we not hate sin? And yet, we love sin. Because if we hate it, we will not sin. Why would you do something you hate? You do things because you love. That's how I am. Man, this is why without God, we're hopeless. It's not your determination that, okay, young, I will repent. That's not what is needed, because that's just useless without God's work in you. But believe when I tell you, God is working in you. You have to believe. It's not your determination. It's not going to change anything. How many days that your determination lasts? I mean, mine, I don't know. Even if I feel like that my determination lasted to next day, but today to next day, in between, there's so many times it just changed. You know, I went this way and that way. But I trust God. And you trust Him. So let's repent. Confess. Do not hide our sins from God. I mean, even the act itself is so comical, right? Just because you hide, is it really hidden from God? Now, the repentance must include our turning away from sin. We must do our best not to do it again. But always rejoice as we repent. Always remember our Lord Jesus Christ has died for that sin that you are confessing. And God has forgiven that sin in Jesus Christ. See, true repentance is God's grace. Non-Christians cannot repent without the work of the Holy Spirit. Only thing that non-Christian can do is regret. Regretting is so self-centered. People regret because of the negative consequences that their actions will bring to them. That's why they regret. That is not repentance. Oh God, Just forgive me this once and I will not do this again. But reason why you say it is that because what you have done, some negative consequences you have to face. You say, I don't want to face that consequences. So you say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do this again. That's not repentance. That's regretting. Even non-Christians do that. Oh man, I should not have done that. It has nothing to do with God. And don't think that just because one regrets and even cries that that person has repented. I mean, we are so weak in the sight of tear, but God is not. Oh yeah, your wife or your husband with tears come to you and say, I'm sorry. And you know, most likely we say, oh, it's okay because we saw the tears. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 and 17. That there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. Yes, Esau cried. But it was not repentance. Brothers and sisters, let us truly repent of our sins. And it is the grace of God, so you must depend on God. God has worked in you to lead you to repentance. And even then, your repentance is never perfect. Thank God that Jesus Christ has repented of our sins in our behalf. We will deal with that when we go to Luke. When Jesus was baptized. But that baptism, Bible says, it was baptism for the forgiveness of sin. Baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. Jesus never sinned. Why did he get that baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin when he did not sin? He did it in our place. We see this in the Old Testament so many times. We see Daniel repenting of the sins of Israelites. He's not just repenting of his sins, but he's repenting of people's sin. We see this all the time, the kings repent of sins of people. And here's Jesus Christ repenting our sins. Perfect repentance. So our imperfect repentance is now perfect in God's sight because of our union with Christ in all things. Otherwise, then how can we be so confident that our repentance is received by our God? Your repentance is so perfect. God said, okay, man, you did very well. That repentance, whoa, is good. No. I know my repentance, even though I am sincerely repenting, I know it's not perfect. I'm going to do it again. That's why I hold on to Christ, Jesus Christ, even in my repentance. There's no any other way. But let us repent. Then what? Our psalm says, verse 7b, God, you surround me with songs of deliverance. Verse 11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones. And shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. See, brothers and sisters, this psalm, Psalm 32, is our psalm. It describes our experience. God is our hiding place. We are the blessed ones. Our transgression is forgiven in Jesus Christ. Our sin is covered in Jesus Christ. And our iniquity God does not impute to us in Jesus Christ. Rather, God has imputed our sins to Christ. And God has imputed His righteousness to us. This is our song. Sing it. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, do you know this joy? This joy of the forgiveness of our sins in Jesus Christ? Please, ask God so that you may know this joy. Because this is what truly set you free. Joy of the forgiveness of our sins in Jesus Christ. Let us rejoice and give our God all the glory and thanksgiving. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. Oh Father, there are so many sins we have committed against you, and we thank you that Jesus' blood cleansed all our sins, not just the past, present, but also the future. That our sins are completely cleansed in Jesus Christ. And you will not even remember them anymore. Oh Father, we long for that day when we see you face to face. We'll live without sin. And you will not even remember our sins that we have committed while we live here on earth. So there is no sin whatsoever in heaven. Not even in your memory, there's no sin in heaven. We long for that day. Come quickly, Lord. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.